Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are the talk show that is made for men by men. And not even the ladies want to miss our show. And today, well, it's June 20th. It's the third Sunday of the month. And it's Father's Day. So to all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. And I'm actually doing a special show to acknowledge and tribute to all the fathers out there. Really important. You guys have been making it happen in our world, in our society. And without you, nothing, no internet, no computers, no houses, bridges, roads, cars, all that stuff. Without all the men in the world, none of us would be here. And I think we just don't hear that enough. So for all of you who have been fathers, tip my hat, thank you. And a special thank you for those of you who have been in your children's life from the beginning. And I want to give a little bit of research on that. You've had a more profound impact on your children's lives than you realize it. And, you know, while men have been called toxic and I've heard men don't contribute much to society and all these things, just having your father in the home, believe it or not, has a huge impact. So, now... Happy Caveman Day. Yes, there you go, PJ. Yes, me man. She woman. Happy Caveman Day. Happy Father's Day to all the guys out there. And look, even if you don't have children, you're a father to our society. There's a role that men play. There's a fatherly role that every man plays. Whether it's to younger guys, older guys, and even to women, regardless of their age, there is a emotional stability that we just inherently bring to the table, and our society for sure would not be the same without us, and there's lots of proof and evidence for that. So, guys, I appreciate you joining me for this one. You've heard me say it before. Like and subscribe. If you haven't hit that like button when you come in, smash that like button. Subscribe to my channel if you haven't already, and check out some of my videos. I'm known for doing research. Even the ladies are think twice before they say certain things to me because they know I'm going to do some study, some research. I'm going to be able to lay out facts and statistics. Even if you hate facts and statistics, it's not always in our best interest to create these these myths, and that people live by these myths. So if you haven't subscribed to my channel, subscribe, and you'll be able to check out some of these old videos that I've done where there's so much research on a lot of different topics. If you go to my older ones, you'll really see the other side of me, which is, you know, a very strong business and leadership background that I have in the training. So if you're interested in leadership and understanding business, or even if you're really good at business and you want to take a deeper dive and look at leadership and transforming corporate culture from a very different perspective, you want to look at creating breakthroughs, quantum lives, whether it's business or personal, you want to check out some of my older videos. That's where I started. Hey, thanks, PJ. Where do I get these women from? Yeah, it's good to hear women. Big thank you for that. It's good to hear women who have a very different perspective. That woman lives in Australia and very smart, very open-minded, it was very good to have her perspective and to be able to share it. And she engaged you guys. And some guys started putting her in a hot seat, and she didn't buckle. She stayed with it, and so that was definitely a good show. From what you're saying, I need to have more shows where I have women that have different perspectives. And I think it's good for other women who don't know that women think that way. Sometimes they think men are just saying these things to be selfish, but it's really good for other women. That's why I say, this is, I do my shows, they're a place for men to be able to speak, think, and act like men. Like, as you say, PJ, cavemen, we all have it in us. Men have that caveman, that animalistic side. We're all animals first. Except this is also a place for women to hear men speak in a way they may not have been accustomed to hearing and be able to engage them. You watched it afterwards. Yeah, I didn't think I saw you during it, but yeah, yes, it was. It was educated. Hey, I see you guys stepping in and Instagram. Welcome. Happy Father's Day, guys. Frederick William, thanks for joining. Yep, absolutely, man. It's Father's Day, and I'm actually going to do a show to pay tribute to men and all men, So, even if you don't have what you call biological children, men play a role of father to our society, whether you're doing that to younger men or boys, or you're being that emotional stabilizer to the opposite sex, to the women in our society, regardless of their age. I mean, that is a huge role that we play, and we've been gifted with the capacity to be much more stable emotionally and intellectually. You just look at the civilizations men have built around the world. What's going on, country boy? Good to see you in the house. Yes. And look, I'm saying happy Father's Day to all men, because we are the fathers of civilizations. We built them all around the world, every last one of them. And we all play a role. And I'm going to give you guys my thoughts why, as men, we've all earned the right for a happy Father's Day. I was speaking to a woman just yesterday, and I was saying to her that men build civilizations around the world. And a lot of women, when they think of building a civilization, they just think of the brick mason, the carpenter, the plumber. They think of those guys who are that you see actually building. But what I expressed to her was, you have to understand how you build a civilization and where it starts. And it starts in some man's head as an idea. And that man has an idea of a civilization and how he wants it to look and function. And what that man with the idea has to do is now go to investors and say, hey, man, I have an idea. I want to build this civilization that's in the best interest for everyone. But he's got to get someone to put money in that who will invest. And those investors are expecting to get a return. They expect to get their money back plus a profit. And so he's going to go to investors, and they're going to, some will say no. Some will say, I will give you part of the money. And then some more will say no, and some more will give you part. And that's a job by itself, to build a civilization, to have the idea and then raise capital. And then he's got to hire some really smart guys who understands architecture and engineering and roads and bridges and layouts of cities and roads, buildings, where they should be, water systems, food supply, transportation systems. All of these things have to come in, and you have to get financed. Then you have to make sure it's profitable. So you have to create accounting systems and financial and banking systems. And now you have to educate people so that they can have the skills and competencies to actually build it, for accounting, for engineering, for plumbing, electrician, carpentry, drivers, And then you have to make sure your people are healthy. So you need a healthcare system. So you need education system, banking system, health. Like all of this goes into building a civilization, and women don't seem to understand. Men have committed their lives to doing these things. Like this is what work is building a civilization. And then we have to maintain it. So that means to build it, you have to have all kinds of natural resources like iron. You need rocks, boulders. You need make cement. You need rubber trees. You need oil. You need energy. You know, all of these things that men have been responsible for. We are the fathers of civilization. And yet I've heard women say men do nothing in civilization. We invent things. We die trying. We lose our we invest money and lose it all. And that's really what Father's Day is about. It's about all these things that men have done over thousands or over millions of years. Men have made life easier and safer for women. And when I ask women, well, what do you do in return to make life easier for men? And you get nothing, or I'll wear a pretty dress. I mean, sex. Food. I mean, hell, men could take off to an island without women and build a civilization. They will cook and do all the things that need to be done. 007, good to see you in the house. Thank you, man. Thank you. Okay. Definitely we'll drop the link. Yes. Country boy, yes, guys like you do want to be fathers. And listen, there are a lot of women who've made poor decisions in becoming single mothers by procreating with men who were never going to be a father. They were just never going to be a father. They would never be a good father. And that's unfortunate. But there are still a lot of women who did not go that route. And we talk about developing yourself, your own personal development, developing skills, having a craft. You know, all of these things are important. I mean, we build a civilization, we maintain it, and then we build a military to protect it. And we keep our women and our children safe with a much easier lifestyle than living in a cave, right? Yeah, APJ, right, you can't manipulate oil or the iron ore, right? So you have to actually go in and get that stuff. Coal mines, right? You go, hell, how many men died in coal mines before they started sending the canary in there? You know, I was telling this woman that, you know, how many men have died over the eons, making life easier for everyone. And we do that for women that we'll never meet. So guys, let's celebrate Father's Day. Let's acknowledge all the fathers. Let's acknowledge all the men that contribute to building our civilization. And that's everything. That's not just the roads and bridges and the buildings. That's the education systems and the healthcare systems. And so that's doctors and the lawyers who make policies that also keep us safe, that make the laws and the rules and it all matters. It's all part of our civilization. And as men, we are all contributors to that. Whether we are at the pinnacle, the height of our career, or we're on the sunset, or we're just coming in, or, you know, getting the education so that we can contribute. So we are all the fathers of civilization. So let's smash that like button. If you haven't subscribed to my channel. I'd love to have you see some of my older videos and join me on the shows. And if you haven't shared this, share this with a man, whether he has children or not. All men have the right to be part of this great conversation about celebrating manhood. And Red Pill Ghosts, you're on. Go ahead, man.
Hey, salute, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Hey, man. To all the fathers out there, yeah, like, we appreciate you, like, all you guys for, you know, just you know, what you have done and stuff for the human civilization and stuff, you know. So I do like appreciate my dad too. You know, he's at work right now, but you know, he's my you know, motivation and stuff to, like, you know, just work hard, you know, every day, like, in my life and stuff, and also, you know, stay on the purpose and stuff, you know. And yeah, I mean, like, regarding the the fathers and stuff, and the civilization, I noticed that women, like, you know, just without a father figure in your lives, they're usually, like, you know, just emotionally unstable and stuff. Because, you know, I've actually you know, talked to some females with you know, without a father figure and stuff, and I noticed that their emotions are through the roof and stuff. Because I had, you know, just one female tell me and stuff that, like, you know, without her father and stuff, you know, she was doing, like, a bunch of sketchy shit, you know. It was just, like, you know, she was, you know, just hooking up with a bunch of gangbangers and stuff while, like, you know, she's very educated and stuff, you know, like, she has a bachelor's degree and stuff, and, you know, she's in the master's school right now for social work and stuff. But, you know, like, she told me and stuff that, yeah, like, you know, just without a father figure in her life and stuff, you know, like, you know, like, there's no direction in life, you know. You know, her mother is, I guess, the somewhat of a mother figure, but, you know, like, she hasn't directed her at all. And like, during her relationships and stuff, or, like, you know, just hookups, you know, like, she used to manipulate a bunch of guys on Tinder and stuff to buy free food. And like, you know, like, she didn't have to pay a single dime because, you know, she was on campus, you know, like, where I go to and stuff. And, like, you know, I talked to this girl about, like, a year ago and stuff, and I was just like, man, like, you know, without, like, the father figures, a lot of these females are, you know, just unstable. They're going to do, you know, just whatever they want to, you know, just, you know, just get, like, a bag of food, or, like, you know, a bag of chips, or, like, a bag of weed. So, yeah, I've seen it, like, oh my god, it's just crazy, you know. I was in high school at that time, and I was talking to the female at the local college.
Excuse me,
Ted,
what's the topic for today?
Joe, yeah. The topic is, can families be healthy without fathers? And I am going to present some research.
Yeah.
Looks at what happens when the father's there. It, very extensive, comprehensive research on what happens when he's there, when he's not
okay,
there,
okay,
and the difference. So I'll go through that. But that's the topic. I'm celebrating Father's Day, and I'm acknowledging all men as the father of civilization, because without us men, we have no civilization. So I'm acknowledging all of you, Joe, whether you have biological children or not.
Well, I'm acknowledging all the men that have received ties for the fourth Father's Day in a row, or a set of handkerchiefs for the fifth Father's Day in a row, while on Mother's Day, the moms get taken out for dinner or get a nice bouquet.
Red Pill Ghost, go ahead, finish what you were saying. And I'm going to comment on that, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, you know, that's all I have to say, you know, about the topic of the live stream and stuff, you know, like what I said, you know, like, from personal, like, experience and stuff, you know, from talking to a lot of, you know, just women and stuff, you know, like, with no fathers, it seems like, you know, like, they're usually, like, you know, just unstable, like what I said, and, you know, as you know, the future, like, you know, just extends for them and stuff. I mean, they're, like, eventually going to be, like, single mothers with, like, a sketchy baby daddy, right? I mean, like, it's true, though, because I've seen it before. Yeah.
The cycle goes on, right?
Yeah. Yep. You know, time flies, you know, just every day and stuff. And a lot of these, you know, just women, like, they don't take their life seriously at all. instead, like, you know, they want to, like, hook up with, like, you know, these criminals or scumbags and, you know, just get, you know, impregnated by them. And it's just what happens, you know? I mean, like, you're going to be a single mother and, you know, a lot of these guys are not going to care for your baby and stuff and they're going to leave you. That's what I noticed from, like, the military guys, you know? The military guys, I know, like, a couple of them, and they just plan to see them go. I'm so, like, either, like, you know, just Afghanistan, South Korea, Jordan. They don't care, you know? That's all I have to say right there.
All right, cool. All right. Thank you. Joe, and then Kendrick, let's hear your thoughts. So go ahead. So, Joe, I think Father's Day is ranked the number 20 holiday. I think even Arbor Day is ahead of Father's Day. Halloween is like number 6. So,
really, in terms of popularity?
Yes.
Father's Day is 2026.
And wait, number one is Christmas. Number two is Mother's Day.
Two is Mother's Day. Not even New Year's. New Year's is not two. Mother's Day is two.
We could do a quick Google search.
Jesus Christ.
Most popular. Mother's Day is number 3. So it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Easter.
Uh-huh. Oh, good. Good mothers deserve popularity, but mothers in general. I'm agreeing
So the people were just making jokes. So Father's Day is number 6. So you have Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Easter, Independence Day, Father's Day, Halloween. So most commonly celebrated is what it's called. And if they look at about a percentage of Americans celebrated sales in U.S. dollars. So
Father's Day actually is that high up in sales? I'm surprised.
Well, I'm looking at, so Christmas is $630 billion. Mother's Day is
that's to be expected, yeah.
Mother's Day is $19 billion. And Father's Day is $12
billion. Well, it's better than I expected. Anyway, all right, how you doing, Kendricks, and how you doing, Ted?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I'm as in the old days, I'm groovy, man.
Well, so you used to be a hippie, huh?
It's far out, isn't it?
Far out. Oh, God. When I was in the service, there was a hippie who joined the service. He woke up in the morning, and he said, "Far out, sunshine." I cracked my ass up. Oh, man.
Hey, in the territory, good to see you in the house, man. What's up? Happy Father's Day to you. Thank you for joining us. So what other thoughts you had? So it's Father's Day. Well, you know, we're also talking about, can families be healthy without fathers? And so, you know, gentleman was just speaking and saying what one of the things he's noticed, that when women grow up without fathers, they're somewhat of they're not as emotionally stable.
That's possible. I mean, look, fathers are the stabilizing element in a marriage, in a family, if the father's a good father. If he's a good father, and hopefully if the mother's a good mother, then you've got the best of both worlds. And the children should grow up to be very strong, very responsible. And, you know, that's the way to perpetuate a very healthy, non-destructive society, a non-self-destructive society, and a non-destructive society, which doesn't wish to take other lands' resources. So that we do need the nuclear family with good fathers and good mothers.
Okay, good thoughts. Kendrick, where are you on this topic? Can families be healthy without fathers?
Good evening, Ted, and good evening, gentlemen. And I would say, just for the record, Ted, no, sir, they cannot be functional and healthy without their fathers in the household. And statistics have already shown it, Ted. These past, I don't know, these 50, 60 years from now, over a process of time, man, we see how the man at the household don't just done let the house diminish to a bunch of chaos and confusion.
So as I'm going to give you a style, I'm going to give you a bonus up front. As I'm going to give you the side note up front, and I'm going to share the screen on this one. This is an interesting one.
It really is.
This one's about older dads, Joe. They say older dads, this is an AARP did this study, or at least they printed it. Older dads produce geekier sons, study says. That's what the study says. This is June of 2017, and they say the boys are also more aloof and have higher IQs. So the findings emerged from an analysis of online questionnaires measuring nonverbal skills filled out by twins at the age of 12. Also analyzed were parental reports on how focused and socially aloof their children were. The scientists combined these scores and came up with what they referred to as an overall geek index. Even when controlling for parents, social economic status and employment, researchers found geek index scores to be higher for the sons of older fathers. Specifically, the average geek score for kids born to dads age 25 or older was 39.6 was their geek score. The number climbed to 41 among those with fathers age 35 to 44, and it rose to 47, that's the geek score, geek index, for those with dads age 50 and older. So having an older father could make you a geek. And let's see, they gave a reason. They said, our study suggests that there may be some benefits associated with having an older father. Magdalena Janeka, the lead researcher from King's College London, said in a written statement, "We have known for a while about the negative consequences of advanced paternal age, but now we have shown that these children may also go on to have better educational and career." So they say perhaps it's because of socioeconomic class, father doing better, more educational opportunities, more exposure to the children, that kind of thing. That's what they're thinking. But what they are seeing is that not only are they have higher intelligence, they're a little bit more aloof, which is associated with being a geek. Like they don't try to fit in, and that's one of the signs of geek. So dads matter.
But that's an offensive term. First off, it's like a backhanded compliment. They're saying that kids who have older parents, older fathers in particular, may grow up to be more intelligent, but maybe more aloof, and they call it the geek index. They don't call it the socially adaptable index. They call it the geek index. Why don't they call it the nerd index as well?
That's what they said. I can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I know. I'm not criticizing you. I'm criticizing the people who termed it.
And they had George Clooney's picture for the article. A silver hair, you know.
Oh, he's supposed to be a geek?
He's not a geek. He's the older father.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You know, they're showing him with his, what do you call it, salt and pepper hair.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I liked him when he got away from, what was it, ER? And he went out on his own in movies. He turned out to be a pretty good actor.
He has been. Yep. I actually never watched ER, so heard of it, but yeah, never watched it. So I'm going to do another screen share for this one is
for the YouTube audience.
The YouTube audience, yes. This article is called Father's Influence on Children's Cognitive and Behavioral Functioning, a longitudinal study of Canadian families. And they also took studies from the U.S. But one of the things is interesting that they did talk about how having fathers in the family, the biological, did increase. They found that there was a correlation between nonverbal communication, IQ, and overall IQ. They mm-hmm. attempted to attribute it to a number of things. But what I think most interesting is that when they looked at the boys growing up in a home without a father, and they were like, everyone's always said that boys need their father to have an example of a man. But they said the boys seemed to be less traumatized. It was the girls who were more impacted by not having a father in a home.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes. And this study was thorough. They did it from, they started when they were young, and then they did a second when the children were preteen. And, so some of the divorces had occurred in the two time periods. And then, looking at
right.
what going forward, but they also got the teachers involved so that they could see what were the teachers' observations of when the father was there or not there. And so were there external different, like were the children acting out differently if the father was gone, if the father was there, how did they behave?
Uh-huh.
And then what were the internal? And the internal was very much more the girls. The girls were more likely to be depressed. They had anxiety. Like the girls suffered the most from the father being gone. Like significantly different. So that might answer why. So there's something also called I forget the proper term, but what it's about is being sympathetic. It's almost like you imagine your best friend has a headache and you get a headache, you're around them and you get a headache because you're in sympathy with them, right? You feel bad for them.
Right, you commiserate with them, you're empathetic, right,
no,
you're empathic with them.
The word is sympathy, like you become sympathetic.
So it's like a phantom sickness?
Sympathy. Right. So because you have so much sympathy for them, you actually end up getting the headache because you're sympathetic.
You actually, right.
So what I'm getting at is there are a lot of girls who grew up with their fathers and they become sympathetic with girls who grew up without fathers. And it's like they catch part of the same problems those girls had.
Really? No kidding.
This commonly happens. There is a lot of sympathetic. It happens in a lot of different ways in our society. Like this is a natural phenomenon. This is a phenomenon that occurs in our society often. People haven't gone through it, have sympathy for those who do, and they start to experience some of the conditions and angst and upset and anger. Or like a woman who's never been raped, but her friend has been raped, and now she's upset with all men who are like she's taking on the same mindset as a woman who's been raped, even though she hasn't.
Well, I can understand that, but for her to take on the same type of anxieties and physical symptoms of a person who undergoes that type of post-trauma, that would be sympathetic. I'm trying to figure out what the other term is too, sympathetic something or other.
Right. So what I'm getting at is I'm looking at, over 70% of divorces in the U.S. initiated by women. So what I'm getting at, Joe, is there are women who are in marriages that are fine. They may be mediocre, right? They're not great, but they're not great because you know why the marriage is not great? Because she's in it. It's not great because she's in it, right? So, and wherever she goes, she finds mediocrity, and she doesn't realize that she's part of the reason why there's too much mediocrity around. So, that's for anyone, right? That's for any man, woman, child, right? So, you know, if you always find yourself bored, it's probably because you're boring, right? And it's not that people around you are boring; you are. So, I'm saying that there's some sympathy. There are women who are in marriages are just okay. They don't warrant a divorce. But there are women who are getting divorces, and there's this sympathy, like this critical mass of, well, I should get a divorce too. Like, divorce has become a solution.
A trend. Okay.
To whether it's mediocrity or, you know, as opposed to dealing with the fact that, well, the marriage is mediocre because you're there. Like whenever problems happen in my life, I'm there. Right? And I'm responsible for that. When I'm not there, those problems are not there. It's when I'm there. You know, when something great happens in my life, I'm there also.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asserting that a lot of divorces are just were never even warranted. There was no reason for it, except for the fact
there probably isn't.
There's some sympathy towards other women, and I have a right to stick it to my husband too. Yeah, that's right, and he's done nothing wrong.
Yeah, he's done nothing wrong, but because the marriage isn't as I expected it to, the way that Walt Disney has and Harlequin has taught me to expect, then the marriage, even though I'm getting the roof over my head, I'm getting protected by a worthwhile husband, there isn't that spark of the novelty of first meeting him or even of the honeymoon. And therefore, since my girlfriends are experiencing the need to break up and find their own individuality, perhaps I should too. Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting at. So, and if you look at women who grew up without a father, they're more likely to have these internal conflicts and emotional instability. And so then you get a woman who did grow up with her father, and if she starts to have sympathy for her friend who didn't have one, she'll start to take on part of that mindset as well. It becomes like contagious in some ways.
Yeah, psychological contagion. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. So for all the men out there, this is an impact, man. And if you're going to have children, I'm assuming you want to have children who are going to have a great life. It's to carry on your bloodline. Carry on your name. I mean, do you want a name that's synonymous with, you know, some kid dropping out of school, becoming a drug addict, or just going to jail, or being murdered before his 25th birthday? I mean, is that the bloodline you really want? Are men thinking about this? I mean, we hold the seeds of life, so, you know, women are not going to be pregnant without our participation. So men have some say over this. And if you don't want to be a father, in their life and living, if this woman is not someone you want to be with, we need to rethink, because we're creating a much weaker society by we're bringing on what the guy was saying on YouTube. So we're bringing on children in the world, and the women are more negatively impacted emotionally, and they're more likely to perpetuate that lifestyle of being a single parent, you know, not having a man in their life, being afraid of being abandoned. And they're going to have children and have the same negative impact on their daughters not even counting the negative impact they'll have on their sons because maybe they resent men. And you're perpetuating a cycle that's not building any strength in our society. We're just getting weaker by the generation.
Yeah, that's true. They perpetuating a generation of curse, man, by just laying on anything and procreating with some anything. They going to stop that. Get with somebody, you know, the job, you know what I'm saying, the child can work something out and be productive parents. Don't lay up and have none if you ain't ready to take care of none. That's what I was taught, and I go to my grave with that belief, kid. Think before you lay down and start having them. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and I understand some women believe that most men should step up to the plate and be fathers to their fatherless children. That's a liability. No man has that obligation. If a man wants to do that, that's fine. But most guys are going to walk away because you're coming to the table with liabilities that he has nothing to do with. And it's not only a financial liability, it's an emotional. There are going to be some emotional triggers for the daughters, for any daughters that she has, and you're asking a man to come in and assume those, which becomes to a liability to his own mental health.
Well, it's even more of a liability to him. To him legally, because you can be with a woman without having to live with her, and if she has kids, if you form a bond with those children, the girl can sue you, and the judge can award her, I don't know if they would call it damages, but an award based upon emotional distress and the breaking of the bonds, which the man formulated with her natural biological kids, not even his.
Right.
Of course, Joe, and that's really what a lot of dudes done bagged up out of it. Be a, say yourself, single black men, or eat a MGTOW, or eat a monk mode, or eat at a black pill. They just completely bagged out of this thing, and some of them dudes done started outsourcing women overseas. They not going over there just looking for some one-night fling in the bedroom. They looking for a wife, kid. And I believe them dudes actually finding wives overseas.
Yep. So this study I'm looking at on you, the one that I said is father's influence on children's cognitive and behavioral functioning. So there was a clear indication that the fathers who stayed in the biological fathers who were there, part of the parent, and they did look at whether the father was good. Like, so did he have good control? You know, was he a stable father, you know, those things counted. And when he was, the effects were extremely positive. IQs were much higher, and the children were emotionally stable from the father. Father offers a different perspective on problem solving. And they even attribute the way fathers play with their children as being
influential.
Yep.
That's extremely important, to play with your children. That is the best bonding way with your children. If you know how to play with your children, if you know how to administer love and discipline fairly, your children, when they grow into the teenager years and even older, they are going to be your best friends throughout the rest of your life, even more so than your wife, if you know how to take care of your children, if you know how to bond with them, help them to grow, make them feel secure.
Right. So I'm not going to read all this, but it says the second they were looking at, they had hypotheses of, you know, what happens when the father's in the home. And they said children who live with their fathers in middle childhood, that's preteen, and whose fathers demonstrated positive early parenting skills would have lower levels of behavioral problems later on in development than other children.
So not only higher intelligence, they're less likely to have behavioral problems. And so one of the ways this study did that is they actually would get the teachers involved, because asking the parents could be a little pissed, or they may withhold it. They may not want to say their children are a problem. So that they were hoping that the teachers would be much more objective and be able to say, you know, when Johnny's father, when the parents divorced, he started to internally show, you know, withdrawal, anxiety, depression, or he became externally disruptive and troublesome. Right. And they call it external problems or internal. So the father, the children whose fathers displayed less positive parental control and whose fathers were absent had higher internalizing scores later on than other children. Further, father's presence predicted decreased internalizing problem scores later on for girls, but not boys. See, that whether the father was there or not, it was less. Boys are less likely to have internal problems by the father not being there. It's the girls who suffer the most. That's something for, and so if you have the girls who suffer the most and they begin to try and hide that, and they become protective and they become more defensive and believe that they have to be aggressive and tough and all these things to hide that what's really going on inside is, you know, they're a wreck. So they have to do all kinds of things to overcompensate and hide that because their father was absent. And I'm assuming that's just taking him out of the house from divorce. Like, what happens when your mother is on Maury Povich and she's gone through 8 guys and doesn't know who your father is? I mean, I don't know if they've done studies on that. That has to be even worse to not even know who your father is. So now those children grow up to have children, and what kind of mother is she going to be? She'll end up, no quality guy is going to want to take on that fight, that battle of her internalizing, not having a father and being adversarial because she wants to hide. You know, women who go and get therapy are going to be, could be a lot better off. Not always. I've met those who've gone to therapy and they still have those battle scars of daddy.
Oh, Pete.
He's gone.
Let me interject something real quick. Those women that you just talking about psychologically and the men, any kind of value not wanting to step up. Okay, that's the whole paradigm we living in now. They claim they want that 7-8 figure man, the millionaires and the billionaire top tier men for marriage and resources and all that. But the problem is you only got a handful of those type of men, Ted, that's making that kind of income. Plus, the men that making that type of income claim that they got options, so why should they settle for what these single mothers were sketching baby daddies are, Ted? Maybe you can explain some of that paradigm to me as well.
I'm not even fully getting into the whole single mother. I'm saying that she won't get chosen, even if she has no children, she won't be chosen because she has some internal emotional challenges she hasn't dealt with from her father not being there. So she won't even get the guy that you're talking about. She'll end up with the guy who doesn't want to be a father.
And see, that's still confusing to dudes like me because, you know what I mean, in a way, because you claim you want somebody that working and treats you right and do this here, but you still, some kind of way, like you said, to some of you women still kind of psychologically off, like you're saying.
Well, they grew up without their father, and it has a more negative impact on the daughters, on girls, than it does boys. If you look in the Black community, the past 10 years, suicide rates for children from 11 to 17 are up 60% for boys over the past 10 years.
For girls, it's up 132%. That's just showing more that girls are not handled. And these suicides are happening in a single mother household. So this is showing that girls are not handling a home without their father in it.
And the facts speak for themselves, Ted. And if anybody tries to rebuke those facts with you, they crazy. And that, and I say they need to be institutionalized.
Sorry, what did you say?
I was saying the facts speak for themselves, Ted.
Right. So now imagine this woman has all these internalized emotional problems because her father wasn't in the home. He might have been in her life, but he wasn't in the home. And that's where they're seeing the difference. So she's going to carry that in every aspect of her life, her career. And so with career, they can tell you how to act. You go to school, they tell you what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. When it comes to a relationship, there's no training for that. So she brings everything. And you hear women saying they're keeping it real and this is just who I am. So technically, she's telling you she treats people at work better than she treats, you know, her significant other. And so a man who is making a great income and he's got his head together, why would he invite someone in his life who needs a lot of work, who's bringing mental health problems and she hasn't dealt with it? And I'm not even saying she's a single mother. She's just a single woman, no children. That's going to be a problem because a guy is going to sniff that. He's going to smell those mental health challenges, and he's going to back out.
You most profoundly right, sir, and I totally agree with you. And for that type of brother in particular, I would say he got every right and this God-given nerve to be kind of cautious and leery and real strict about the women that he deal with and led into his life.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't for 1 minute tell him just jump up and go get some anything because he want to get his rocks off. No, that's foolish. You got to think logically and smart about what you're doing.
So for men, this is incentive for men to think twice about the woman of your choice. There are women who grew up in a single-parent house, single mothers, and they've gone to speak to therapists and they've dealt with a lot of things, but they still have the residue. And so remember what I was saying earlier about how some women may have sympathy for other women who, so let's say a woman grew up with a single mother. She went to see a therapist, except many of her friends, and let's say her sisters or cousins who also came up in a single parent household, and they didn't seek a therapist. The woman who did seek a therapist is going to end up being influenced by those women who grew up without fathers and at home and didn't seek therapy. There's where a problem happens when a society with a large population. So now this woman, even though she sought the support of a therapist, she's going to have some sympathy towards those women who didn't. And the women who didn't are have some emotional trauma, and they don't know how to deal with it. And oftentimes people who have seen therapists believe that just because they saw a therapist that they can help other people, and they sometimes end up hurting themselves. So, you know, that's like, imagine a woman is married to a plumber. Does that mean she can come in and handle your plumbing in your home? No, she's married to a plumber. So a woman who goes and seeks the help of a therapist doesn't mean that she's now qualified to be a therapist. And this is where a lot of challenges, women who've gone to see a therapist will believe that they're now qualified to be a therapist without doing the training. And they end up as I was saying earlier, they end up sympathizing with other women who have been emotionally traumatized without a father in the home. And And she ends up still taking on that. She can't figure out why she can't attract a quality man. SW, what's going on? Happy Father's Day, man. Happy Father's Day to all of you guys. So this is complex. So this is, I'm not telling men what to do. I'm saying there are things that there's empirical evidence to support that girls are more negatively affected by not having fathers in the home. Fathers, people who grow up, boys who grow up with older fathers are more likely to be geeks. And I heard you, Joe, that's a backhanded compliment, right?
Yeah. Well, that probably put me in that kind of situation, BNT. I could have been considered a geek or a nerd back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, that is a backhanded compliment. Jesus, a geek.
Your voice is low, though, for some reason now.
All right, I won't talk much. I'm just listening for the most part.
You're back. Hey, what's going on, Lando? And there's all kinds, like I just read a couple of sentences out of that article just showing that the presence of a father has has profound impacts, you know, playing with the children. Hell, I can tell you with me, my brother and I'm the oldest of four, my brother's second, and then we have two sisters. And my father played with us a lot. Not only did he play, he roughhoused us. I mean, when my brother and I were just, like, little, like, you know, maybe I was 4 years old, I mean, he wasn't too rough. He played with us, which was age-appropriate, but clearly he was, you know, he had the power. But when I was 16 and he wrestled with my brother and I at the same time, you know, for all of our childhood, he could handle both of us. He could throw us around and easily handle us. When I hit 16 and my brother was 14, that was the last time my father wrestled with us because my brother and I coordinated really well, and we got the best of him. We ended up pushing him, and unintentionally, he fell on a glass table and broke it. No one was hurt, thankfully, but it was... I think my father really enjoyed having sons and being able to play with them like that. So it gave my brother and I some this sort of freedom of expression to, you know, be able to play with our fathers, like to be masculine and to play in a very rough masculine way. So without that, you kind of miss out. You know, I don't know if all fathers do that. You know, my father showed us how he had us help him take out car engines, fix cars, balance tires. We split logs for the fireplace. I mean, but so much problem solving in many different things that even
yeah,
you
more,
know,
most fathers should do that.
Well, let me
they
tell
really
you,
should. They should
father,
know.
Hold up. Even though my father died when I was 21, there was so much that I learned from him that it affected my ability to problem solve and things that he didn't teach me. Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, most fathers should be that way. They should show their sons that they really love their sons by playing with them, by helping them solve problems. I would imagine it does aid in the increasing of one's IQ. You know, and I bet you if your father was alive today, you and your brothers, probably even your sisters too, hopefully, would be his best friends. Because when you bond with a child at that age due to playing, it's like the mammals play with each other. That's how they form bonds. If you ever
exactly.
watch how caretakers are with wild animals when they're very, very young, even when the wild animals are released into the wild, and then years later, when the caretakers go and see them, the wild, the lions, the hippos, the rhinoceroses, the elephants, they acknowledge the caretaker and they love them still.
They do. Hey, Gene, you got to turn that music off, man. That's too much noise, man. yeah, I definitely. They that guy who Yo, Gene, you got to turn that music off, man. Yeah, you got to turn it off. Cut it. And I can hear it. I can still hear it. You got to turn it off, man. Perfect.
Just mute yourself.
So, Joe, really good point, man. So even the people who take care of wild animals and the animals grow up, they still have a bond with that. And that's man or woman. They still have a bond with that human being. Whether it's a lion
absolutely.
Or a chimpanzee.
It could be a lion. It's a polar bear. It's a tiger. I'm not talking about trained tigers or trained animals. I'm talking about animals which have been either rescued or, well, let's say rescued. And just for a year or so, they're with humans. And the humans, bathe them and care for them and caress them and feed them. Even when they release those animals, after only a year, at the most 2 years with the humans, they can go back years later. And that animal will be so enthused about seeing that human.
Well, I'll tell you one story. It was a different kind of enthusiasm. Guy raised the hippo, went back to see him. Hippo dragged him into the water, drowned him, and ate him. So, wasn't a happy ending. Happy
no, it certainly wasn't.
Pretty well. So we're celebrating Father's Day, looking at a little research and looking at can families be healthy without the fathers in them? We're really acknowledging dads, fathers.
I know of one that was pretty healthy. Anyway, no family is 100% healthy. But, you know that everyone has their issues. No one gets off without. I got to get to a better connection.
Yeah, I'm looking at empirical research, so I'm not getting into who's healthy. When they look at the there's certain common ground where fathers are healthy, and they're looking at IQs are higher. Daughters are actually more impacted by the father not being in the home than actually sons, believe it or not. But the father plays a huge role. And I was just sharing some stories about, relationship with my father. And we were now spilling that over into animals and how, the bond, that bond and playing with your father and problem solving and all those things. So
certainly I've met a lot of girls in the last 6 months with some daddy issues. And thank God for that. But I believe that what you're saying is true, and you've probably got one of the most dysfunctional fathers in the world on the phone, whose wife died when his sons was 3 and 5. So she left me with a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a brand new mortgage, and a guy who had absolutely no idea what to do with the child, so I treated him like a dog. And I taught him all the bad things I know, and they turned out to be animals. So,
very interesting.
All three of us now are just a bunch of animals. You know what I mean? I mean, one of them's got the gift of the women, which I guess from my father. One of them's got the gift of his mellowness and his kindness. They both have the gift of kindness they get from their mother. They didn't get that shit from me. I can tell you that right now.
All right.
You know, you have the gift of kindness. Your brother in L.A. has the gift of kindness. Excuse me, I'm on the street in the hood, for real. And this next kind of audio. So we pulled over so we're safe and I'm driving around. But what do I believe? I believe that in any situation you can find some good, and no matter what, there are some incredible people who have survived some incredible situations and turned out, even at a young age, to be incredible human beings. By example from their mother and father, or just their mother, or just their father, or just their grandmother, or just their grandfather. Some people get taken care of by a distant relative or not even a relative at all. Some are adopted. I have a buddy, Adrian, a 17-year-old gay kid. from South Jersey, who is an incredible artist. And I mean a Picasso when he does a portrait. He works in a tanning salon. Somehow I went to go get a tan because I looked at my legs and they were like goats. But this kid is seriously talented. Now, people come to me all the time because of, I guess, the way I look. I may look like the meanest person in the world. And I probably am. I've probably been arrested in the state of New Jersey more times than anybody else. You know what I mean? I think I'm probably up somewhere at around 200.
So let me ask you, Gene, did you grow up with both parents?
I did.
Interesting.
My parents, they were fought a lot. They were trying to see some dishes fly, but I see some knives fly, and I certainly see my share of arguments and silent treatments. But they were together forever, for, I don't know, 60-something plus years.
Interesting.
You know, so I don't know how they did it, because I certainly, now that I know and I experienced it, and I thought that that's what I wanted, to be with someone forever. And what I found out was that we really are just animals and weren't meant to be with the same person forever. Somebody made that shit up in the religious, in the story of the Bible, or one of the 10. How many stories are there in the Bible? 13?
I don't know. I'm not sure what
you got. Fables, you got with Genesis, you got whatever, however many there are, I can't remember. I've read it too many times. Anyway, you know, in the Bible is just a bunch of little stories put together to make up one big story. And that's all it is, a made up story. It's kinda like the economy is a practicing theory, you know, Deutsch made up.
So let me ask you, as a father, as a father, Gene, you grew up with both parents. Your parents stayed together for, you know, 60-something years. You became a father, unfortunately, and sorry to hear your wife passed away, you know, at a young age, and you were left with young children. Hold on, Gene. So my question. For any young guys listening, what lessons did you learn? So when you, I got it. You're saying no man is meant to be with one woman. I got it. But as a parent, as a father, and you saw what your parents did, and you said you think it's incredible that they did it that long. What lessons do you think you could learn that you would, if you could do it over again, what would you do differently?
I think the first lesson, and my brother Joe taught me this right after my first wife passed away. We found out she was sick in October. By May or March, she was gone. And he said, as long as you take care of you, and you make sure you're doing the right thing and you're taking care of you, you'll be able to take care of your family. But if you don't take care of you, if you're screwed up on drugs, you're an alcoholic, you're not paying your bills, and you're not doing the right thing, then your family's going to get hurt from that.
Okay.
If you take care of yourself, you're going to be able to take care of your kids, no matter where they are.
So are you saying that you didn't take care of yourself when you had young children and you were not taking care of yourself?
I did not take care of myself.
Okay.
No, I became an alcoholic again. I was an alcoholic. I had stopped drinking about a year or two before we bought the house. Things were going too good. I had to screw it up. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
Yes, I waited about 2 years before I actually went on a date. And I went on a date with a woman who was very special to me. She's a local girl. We families knew each other. She was maybe a year or two older than I. But the first thing I did, because I was so nervous, when I went to her condo, was pick up a glass of wine and a cigarette. Now, I hadn't had a glass of wine or a cigarette in probably 3.5, almost 4 years. That didn't mean that I still was a good parent, because I was a shit parent.
All right. So take care of yourself. That's one lesson you learned. What's another lesson you learned, Gene?
Well, let's see, Ted. I must have did them wrong about 100 times each. So I definitely learned them the right way. Because, you know, how many times can you learn? I never learned the first time.
So what's the other lesson you learned, aside from take care of yourself?
I think that you have to listen more to your children. And, you know, I used to have to talk and tell them what to do and do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And you behave and you don't act up and you don't, you know, I'll smack the shit out of you and put my hands on you. And that's one thing I definitely learned. That don't work. I don't give a shit if you hit my kid with a 2x4, either one of them, they are not going to listen. And that's from being smacked around when they were little. But you can take a 2x4 right now, hit my kid 30 years old in the back of the head and tell him to do something, he's going to do the exact opposite.
Okay.
That's human nature.
So
that's
you kind of abuse punishment with your children. They desensitized towards it and it meant nothing. So now no one can control them. They don't care about anything.
Nope, you can't control them. I don't care if you're the police, got a gun, 10 of you, 20 of you, doesn't make any difference. My son, he has no fear of anything.
Okay.
Well, now, if you can create it correctly, you might not have as many issues as we've had over the last 30 years.
All right. Hold on, Eugene. What were you going to say, Kendrick?
Well, I was going to say that's the opposite with me because, like he was saying, he can't get them to do nothing, but this is my thing, Ted. It shouldn't have to, if your kids respect you, you shouldn't have to threaten your kid with a 2x4 upside the head to get them to act right. All you have to do, Ted, is give them that stern look, and they knew to get their butt somewhere and sit down. That's what I'm talking about, but that comes from bringing your kids up early on, though, Ted.
Well, what he's saying is he's talking about what he learned, right? So these are the things that he did, and now he's telling you what the consequences are, right? So he used physical force too much, and now they don't care about anything, right? So I get what you're saying.
True.
He's talking about the lessons he learned. So for all those who think that they can just beat on their children, so what the lesson he learned was, listen to your children. If you're just telling your children, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, go do this, instead of actually talking to them, you try to control them. And when you try to control them, maybe you end up using physical force to try and control them, and then it backfires, and it's not even good. It hurts the kids in the long run.
Yes, it do, kid.
That's Eugene, am I summarizing that properly?
I believe that's correct, but that not only do you not have to talk to them or tell them what to do, but I believe that if you listen more than talk, you'll find out that you'll get the answers that you need, and they'll find their own answer. If you continue to get them to talk about what their problem is by asking them the right questions, even at 2 years old, they'll be able to deduce what their problem is and on their own find their own solution. If they have to find 6 or 7 different solutions before they find the right one, so be it. But at least if they find one option that they believe is correct and they think that they found it on their own, then they'll apply the option. Now, they may apply it and it may not work. They can't, what you have to teach them is not to be afraid to change what doesn't work. In other words, if you try something and it doesn't work, and you try the same thing over and it doesn't work, and you try the same thing over and it doesn't work, is the definition of Einstein's insanity. So it's to do something repetitively or
right.
The same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So I definitely am, you know, diagnosed a few ways. So, but that's a result of my environment that I put myself in.
Wait. I think you just said something else important. As a father, as a man, what environment do you put yourself in? That's critical right there, because we all have a choice about the environments that we most frequent, right? We live in, we have friends in, we socialize, all of that. And you said you put yourself in an environment that wasn't in your best interest of your future, right? Oh, you froze for a sec. You're frozen. Hey, Leaf Poetry. Good to see you. Good evening. How are you? Kendrick, you getting anything out of what Eugene is saying about lessons he learns? He learned some tough lessons.
Oh, yes, sir, most definitely. And, you know, he was popping in and out just a little bit, but most definitely about the men beating on them kids and all that. And he was making some real good, interesting points about that. Kids coming from them abusive type of household with them fathers in there and them abusive mothers, they do tend to come out, you know, somewhat psychologically and mentally damaged to it. So, you know, I can agree with those lessons.
But give me a second. Leaf Poetry just dropped in. How are you? I'm doing really well. We're talking about, can families be healthy without their fathers? And I just had a gentleman who went to my high school, and he was talking about the lessons he learned because he said he grew up with both parents. His parents were together for, you know, 60-something years. But he turned out to be the guy who was opposite of his parents. Unfortunately, he married a woman who died when the children were young, and he was left with like three kids, I think all under 10. And he was physically abusive. He was domineering and all the things that he did. And then he dropped out. He was talking about how he put himself in a bad environment. So, you know, for all the men, I mean, all of these things matter. You know, I mean, what Eugene was saying at the end was, even if your child is 2, it's helping them to problem solve. Like, it sounds like he learned some lessons. So if you're asking your child, what's going on? What is it you don't like? What do you want? That child is learning to think about problem solving as opposed to just being frustrated. Climate realist. Hey, thank you, man. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you also, man. Yep. I'm acknowledging all the men as the father of our fathers of our civilization. We've all built this place, all of us. But I had a guy who went to my high school who was joining us on Instagram, IG Live, and very interesting. He admitted, you know, he became an alcoholic, and he was the father that no one would want. He was physically and verbally abusive, even though he came out of a two-parent household. And he lived in a town that was, lots of his and hers, Mercedes. But somehow he put himself in an environment where he got to be the bad boy. And as you say, Kendrick, there were probably lots of women who loved him for being a bad boy. But when he ended up with children, well, that didn't work out so well. And the result of him being physically and verbally abusive with his kids, he says now not even the police can correct his children. They're out of control. He used the word animals. So and these are the things that I'm asking guys to really think about. You know, climate realists. I looked at a study that talked about how when there's a divorce, the father's out of the home. The negative impact is more on the girl in terms of internal, like depression, anxiety, lower sense of self, affects IQ. Like it affects the girl so much. And maybe this is part of the reason why we're getting so many women filing for divorce. They're dealing with so many internal challenges without seeing a therapist, and even some women who do see a therapist, either they have residue that's unresolved, or as Eugene was saying, they're still in environments with a lot of other women who came out of homes without fathers, and they're now in sympathy. Like, you know, we hear about women working in one place, and their period, they all go on their menstrual cycle at the same time. They all synchronize, right? Like there's this biology, and so perhaps women are synchronizing and sympathizing with one another so much that it's causing them, even when they came out of a healthy two-parent household, they're synchronizing and sympathizing with women who didn't, and it's just creating a big mess. And the feminists are not helping it. If anything, they're exploiting it and telling women how your men are going to just dominate you and take over your life and all these horrible things. And we end up with what we have here. If you guys didn't catch Friday's show, I had Australia. It was such a educational, it was an educational interview to hear a woman's perspective on healthy healthy relationships between a man and woman. It was just I think you all will find it educational and enlightening to hear a woman. Okay, and I asked some really tough questions. Some of the guys were putting her in the hot seat, so there are a lot of questions. And I threw a lot of questions, like we really drilled down into what's acceptable and what's not. I mean, non-traditionalist. So, you know, she talked about traditional ways, and I took some non-traditional ways, even though it may have been traditional at one time in her culture. Yeah,
yes, sir, that sounds good.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Kendrick, what were you saying?
I said, you sound good, man, the conversation. We need to have some more of these ladies like Lee Poetry on there. Shout out to Lee Poetry, by the way, gentlemen.
Yes, sir,
we need they, Lord, how can I word this kid? Insight. Yes, sir, I need the insight of some female, you know, some female interactions on this, some of these topics. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Because we know the American perspective, but we need to know what's going on all around us.
That's a good point. Right. There's a world out here. The United States has about 345 million people, except there are about 7.7 billion. And what happens here, it doesn't mean it's the best way. And I think everyone owes it to themselves to spend some time living in another country, not living in a Hilton, live in the country, get an apartment, be part of the culture, and understand how people do things, and you'll get a very different perspective. It's not about going to other countries and saying United States is the best country in the world. It's about seeing how other people resolve issues that perhaps are not handled very well here. It's just getting new, other perspectives. It really opens your mind and makes you a better problem solver in general. The more different things you're exposed to, it's in your best interest. And Lee Poetry, that's a good point, that any person that loses a wife at a young age, that is that could be devastating on many different levels. So. And not, you know, it's not justifying, but it really can be devastating. And, you know, for a young guy with young children and dealing with other challenges that he has, that could be rough. So your phone died, Eugene. You come back to join us.
I had to run into Shell. Thank God for Shell. God worked in there. I lost $10 on a phone charger, but it's a 24-inch double, so I'm happy.
All right. So any other lessons? One is listen to your children. What we were talking about was your environment you put yourself in, and I think that's a good lesson for a lot of guys. So if you go into an environment that I'll say it this way, mental health is probably not a priority for people. So maybe good times, partying, drinking, drugs, all of those things may be more of a priority than mental health. And if you put yourself in that kind of environment, it's going to influence you. So men need to think about the environment they're in. So if you're in an environment and you're saying, well, all the women in my environment are trash, then perhaps it's time to go fishing in a very different ocean.
Exactly, T. And I advocate for that. You might have to sometimes go across the other side of the railroad track, T, to see what the other side is like.
Well, and you know, so I'm glad you said that, because, you know, having women like Leaf Poetry and other women that I've had on the show, it's good for men to see that there is a different world of women and mindsets out there. And I do hear men saying, you know, listen, I've lived in other countries, and there are certain universal things that you're going to find in a woman. You're also going to find where feminism has dropped its seed, and women embrace aspects of feminism, even though they say they're against it, and they won't know it, they won't realize it. And you can find that in the U.S., you can find that in Mexico or China, you can find that anywhere. I'm just going to say that it's just important to know that everything is not everything. It's like you can't say everything is the same as everything else. It's like saying A equals A equals A, and B equals A, and C equals A, and D. If you just believe everything is the same, then you really miss out on some of the gems, the people who are out there. And so I use this platform for people, and sometimes women come on to share perspectives that perhaps a lot of men don't realize exist out there. So once again, thanks a lot, Leaf Poetry. Go ahead, Kendrick.
No doubt, Ted, and I was going to say it. I guarantee you, statistic-wise, if you was to do a census on a poll right now the number of single mothers and fatherless households in various other countries, I guarantee you, Ted, that number would be so low that it wouldn't register as in compared to the United States of America. And that's ridiculous, Ted. That's a shame. You can go anywhere else in the world, and you're going to see them fathers in them households, and you're going to see those mothers and those fathers with their kids in under one roof, Ted. But here it's like we got this paradox we living in, it's almost like the other parts of the world are tied and traditional, but except for America, that's the view that I'm getting.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that's the views that I'm getting.
So as fathers, men are going to really have to watch what they're teaching their daughters. Are you teaching your daughter how to be qualified for the best man? Or are you teaching her to be the cat woman and be alone and undesirable? You know, these are important. I get the whole thing that, you know, there are women who want careers, but there are women who really want to take care of their children and be stay-at-home mothers. Why are those women condemned? Why are they looked down on as weak or incompetent? Or not good mothers? You know, what kind of society is that? You know, there's some level of preservation that men have to do to keep culture intact without letting the court systems or the school system to overthrow that. I mean, you can look at the Middle East and in the UK, where they've been teaching, they're teaching same-sex relationships. And the Middle Easterners says, hey, we're taking our children out of the school. This is unacceptable. So those men are keeping a tradition alive in their community, their culture. They're not accepting and embracing and saying, well, let's just change with the time and our children need to be prepared to have same-sex marriages. No, they're not accepting that. So men have a right to take that kind of stand, and especially as the fathers of every civilization, you want to have a say-so as to how the civilization culturally comes together, as opposed to just being bystanders watching it and then playing victim later. Men have that right.
Yeah, Ted, because you got to look at it, man. You, from a man that want the best for any man in his right mind, would want the best for his family and his kids. You know, the next couple of generations to do better and succeed farther than what the parents done to it. And so if society is going on a down spiral, then what kind of quality of life is my kids and my grandkids going to have, Ted? I worry about that. That's a reality to me. What kind of world are they going to be living in
But see, as men, we actually get to have some say-so over that a lot. We get to draw boundaries. I mean, some people may have heard me tell this story. When I lived in Belize, I lived with Mayan Indians for a while. And I lived in a jungle with no electricity or running water. And I spent the most time in a village that had 328 people, 29. And there was a second village, and that village with 300-something people had no electricity. They never had electricity or running water. But further down the road, there was another village that had 550 people. And that village had gotten electricity 30 days before I arrived there. And something occurred when they got electricity. The young guys were seeing television, and they were seeing the Bloods and the Crips. So what did these young guys do? Well, they wanted to imitate the Bloods and Crips and be tough guys. And these are guys in the jungle. And they started pushing people, you know, the women around the village. They started making problems. And the elders, the men, called the town hall meeting. And they said, look, we're not going to point fingers at the parents. You know who your sons are, the ones who are spray painting Bloods and Crips and bullying people. You know who your sons are. We don't have to tell you. But here's the deal. Either you stop your sons or we the men will stop them. And if we stop them, you're going to find them dead in the jungle. So we're not telling you what to do. We're just telling you it's unacceptable. And so, Kendrick, what I'm getting at is the men that drew the line, the boundaries, and said what's acceptable and unacceptable. The men didn't play victim and say, wow, this is bad, this is horrible. They said, this is unacceptable and there are consequences. And I'm saying men have that right to do that. Now, you don't have to, as Gene was saying, talk to your children, help them reason, help them solve problems. You don't have to beat them. But so what happened in that Mayan village? Those boys stopped. Those parents went and talked to their children and said, stop it. I don't know what they said, but they understood consequences and they stopped. So that's because of men. I see you back, Gene. I don't know if...
Without electricity, we can't do anything. We're all useless in this day and age.
No, I lived in places without electricity, and they were not useless. They were not poor. They were not poor either. I was with Mayan Indians. I wasn't in, yeah. What are the three people? I got it. You want to do a history lesson. No, what are the three types of people you're talking about?
Talking about three types of people. There's the European, Caucasian, then there's the darker skinned people, and then there's the Asian type people.
Okay.
So, the only three types of people, and they're named after Sim, Ham, and Set, Moses' three sons. Sims,
I wasn't telling the story to get into race or anything. I was telling a story to demonstrate how men create boundaries. I told the story to demonstrate how men create boundaries and keep order in society so things don't get out of control. So men have built every civilization around the world, and what it takes to build a civilization is an enormous amount of effort. And men are also responsible for keeping order in those civilizations. And so the Mayans were a great example of how men demonstrated that.
Well, I believe that. And did you know that, and have you ever visited, well, yes, you did visit, so you know that the Mayans built their home on top of their fathers. So that's where you get those monuments and those giant, in those villages, like, Tulum and
I've been to many of those places. Sure. Yep.
So the son built his family's house on top of his father's, and then the generation next built their family's home on top of the other one, and the dirt kind of filled in around the bottom of the garden that they would make, filled in around the bottom. So when that generation was over, although they would remember them, the land would fill in around, and the house would just keep going up, and then the land would fill in, and they gardened, and it was pretty cool. So
okay.
That's how they built civilizations. anyway, let's get back to emulating the Crips and the Bloods. Now.
I wasn't getting into it. It wasn't about the Crips and the Bloods. It was an example of what happened when they didn't have electricity, and once they did get it, they had television, and it changed behaviors, and the men put boundaries on that, and they did not allow the Crips. They didn't allow those young men to become Crips and Bloods. The story was not about the Crips and Bloods. The story was about how men keep order in civilization. It's not about Crips and Bloods. Correct. Correct.
It's either, you know, I'm going to handle it, and if I handle it, you're not going to like the result. Or you handle it.
Right.
And that's the way I handle my life now. So, you know, you don't like the end result, but then I guess you should have done the right thing at the beginning.
Exactly. So if men in our society, if there are things that men don't like, at some point men are going to have to take a stand and say, this is out of control, this has to stop. If you don't stop, we're going to stop it.
I see. Yeah. And there's women, though, that can fill that role. And one just joined, and I'm not going to say who she is, but I worked with a woman whose husband died of, unfortunately, and he was a great guy, died of pancreatic cancer at a very young age. And she took over. She has a tremendous family, had young ones, middle ones, older ones. She has remained both mother and father to her brood, children, family, huge, large, probably 30, 40 people. And she's a staple. And she's not a man, but she can behave like a man if you fuck with her. Excuse my language. If you screw with her family, and if you screw with this woman's family, and she's a strong woman, I made her cry, but that's
well,
a living long cry.
So, I, you know.
She's a strong woman to be there. And to know that her family comes first, and that's it. You mess with my family, you know, she's a mother pit bull. You get the horns, and I don't give a shit how big you are, how tall you are, how tough you are, how many friends you got, how many cousins you got. She don't care. You touch or mess with one of her brood, you're going to get it. And she built her own civilization. And she's got family in several different places, in New Jersey and North Carolina and here and there. And a great man behind her who's kind of a silent type, who's a big, strong, very, very strong individual. And He kind of just sits in the background on the sidelines, maybe a shadow for her. But she's a very strong woman, and congratulations to her for being able to overcome the death of her husband at a tragic, you know, at an inconvenient time. You know, when you get sick, you're ill, and some family member passes.
Right.
Extremely stressful, so she had to go through that, and then moving, which is extremely stressful. One of the top seven things.
I got it. Okay. I appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that. Yep. So.
I got off track again. I know that I do that. I'm terrible. Rob, a friend of mine, right now we're on the outs, but I'm like a brother, but he's doing the wrong thing and not listening enough. And I've been trying to teach him, but he's just a stupid, darkest educated idiot.
All right. Anyway. So, you know, you're off track again. So any other lessons? So what I was talking about was environment, right? So.
Here's the lesson that I can give you, Ted. The best lesson that I can give everyone that's listening right now is that there's a lesson in everything that we do, in everything that we talk about, and in everyone that you listen to, whether it's a homeless person that's begging for money or the richest billionaire in the world, we've all got our problems. So there's a lesson in learning to ask the right questions to help to make that person smile today. That's the lesson, to make someone else smile and to not be the person that says, I don't know. To not be the person that says, I don't care. To not be the person that says, it's none of my business. To not be the person that just looks and stares and says, nothing at all. And to not be the person that just...
So let me ask you about the lesson you learned about choosing an environment that was not in your best interest. What lesson did you learn from that?
You know, so sometimes you have to, everyone's different. I'm kind of bullheaded.
Well, wait, Eugene, you said, one of the things you said is knowing what questions to ask. So I'm asking you questions that can be beneficial not only to you, to people listening and understanding the importance of choosing an environment that's in your best interest.
Okay, so I don't think that it's the environment that... Let me just see if I can word this correctly. No matter what your environment is, if you're homeless, if you're rich, if you're spoiled, if you're struggling, no matter your environment, if you're asking the right questions of yourself, if you're making someone else smile, whether they're close to you or a stranger, then at least you're doing something in a positive direction. And the yin and the yang and the sim and the fat and the ham, it'll all come around to you. So the more you give, the more you get. That's the best answer I have.
All right. Fair enough. Good enough. That's perfect.
So no matter your environment, if it's good or bad, if you're in jail, locked in a cage, if you're in a cage and can't get out, if you're in a 10-by-10 for 4 months, if you're lying in the infirmary in Trent State Prison and died a couple times, you get beat up for showing some mercy to somebody, whatever your situation, no matter what it is, if you make somebody else smile, give everything you've got, you're going to get it back, and you're probably going to get it back 10 times.
All right.
That's the only lesson I can give you.
Fair enough. So, guys, if you haven't liked this video, smash the like. If you haven't subscribed to my channel already, this is a great time to subscribe and hit that bell so that you receive notifications when I put things out. As I said, I have some great videos, and you'll hear a lot of research that I've done in different topics that are really designed to support men. Today is Father's Day, and we're really looking at what happens, you know, when the father's not in the home. And I gave a study. I'll drop the link in the description so you guys can see this study for yourselves. And I also talked about just in sort of an interesting side note that. Older fathers, they found this through studies, tend to produce sons that are more likely to be geeks. They're more likely to be highly intelligent and kind of aloof, not trying to fit into society. So they called it the geek indicator, I guess, for short. Some people may see that as a backhanded compliment, but they're they're usually boys or men who grow up to be highly intelligent for having older fathers. And they looked at it from ages 25 to 34, and then 35 to 40 to 49. And then the fathers who are 50 and above were more likely to produce sons, not daughters, sons that were highly intelligent and kind of aloof, not worried about fitting in. So I don't know, maybe because you have a father that's older, you already have a father that's not the typical, so you understand not fitting in already. And having a dad who's maybe more seasoned in wisdom and career and financially maybe better able to give you educational opportunities are some of the things that they were looking at. So, you know, all the research has shown when the biological father is in the home, it increases IQs for the children, both boys and girls. When the father's gone, it has a severe negative impact on the girl, more than in terms of internal. Now, we all know single parent, out of the single mother homes, you're like 85% of the prison population are people who come out of single mother homes, high school dropouts, drug and alcohol abuse, you know, the percentage, the majority of that comes out of a single parent home. And here's the interesting thing is single fathers seem to have a more stable family life than single mothers. And one of the other problems with single mothers is a large percentage of single mothers end up in poverty, which is unfortunate, and that sort of lowers your chances of having a great education and access to other resources. So, you know, listen, as men, we built every civilization. There's not to put women down. There's no civilization that I know of that have been built by women. There are no ruins for that. There's no proof that women have built a sustainable civilization. So, you know, technically every day is Father's Day because men have contributed to building civilization. And it's not just the bricklayer and the carpenter. The guy who had the idea and then had to go get someone to finance, the investors, that guy is building civilizations, and the architects and the engineers, and people who build roads, the plans, not even the laborers, people who have the plans. This is all part of building a civilization. And then you have to create an education system to make sure you have people who can continue to build and maintain it. And then you need a military to protect it. And you know, as fathers, we're all fathers of every civilization around the world. And today is one day to acknowledge, but as a reminder for every man on the planet, every time you see a bridge and a skyscraper and roads, these are all things that your fathers and grandfathers and great and great-great-grandfathers and uncles and cousins have all participated in to make life easier and safer for us all. So today is just one day in a year where we pay tribute to fathers, and there are lots of lessons that fathers have learned. Some lessons you learn from the wisdom of fathers of doing great things, and then there are some lessons that you learn from fathers that they had to go through a lot of trial and error, and they actually learned. And Eugene, I think you did an excellent job of talking about many of the lessons and being so open and transparent. So I can only say thank you for being so open.
Say that. I'd like to take a minute and thank you to all the people that have helped me the last 6 months, and thank you to all the people who didn't help me, because you taught me a lesson. And if you don't mind, I'd like to plug my IGTV show, Eugene Landau, because it's the name my father gave me. So I don't change it. I don't run duck. You know, I go by that name. Someone once tried to give me a nickname, and I was a good guy. I mean, I love him, but I still love him. But he said, "What am I going to call you?" I said, "You can call me Eugene Lanzaro." He said, "Well, that's just me, my father gave you." He gave it to me for a reason, too. Eugene Francis Lanzaro. It should have been trouble. This fucking trouble finds me wherever I go. I'm going to change that. But they made a mistake on the business cards and made a T instead of the ADG management. We do anything we can to help you. ADG is always doing good. And then I might be adding the R to that, so always doing good and responsibly.
Okay.
Our actions. So it's a big A, a big D. Those are the big guys. And then there's a small G. That's me. I'm the little guy. And
fair enough.
It's going to be a big R. I hope to be a big R for reasonably. And it looks like Houston. Cash App, Venmo, anything you want. Yes, sir.
Hey.
Maybe help you in a minute. Can you give me 1 second? Thank you. I will definitely try to help you, though, no matter what I can do. I got something for you, okay? I won't say no, sir.
Hey, Eugene, I'm getting ready to sign out.
One other thing that I want to elaborate on when you said that men build this and men build that and men build this, well, men can't build anything without women. And without a good woman behind that man, or even there's been some women in history who have done some incredible things that have been shunned or put aside or even never mentioned because of who or what they were, because they were women of minority. They were there too.
Hey, turn that down, man. Eugene, here's the fact. There are no bridges that women have built. There are no roads, no skyscrapers. The coal miners who died before they sent canaries down. We have Mother's Day, and we acknowledge women all the time. Men have built every civilization. Civilizations have not been built by women. They have not, and we have to stop saying that. I get it. Women have given birth to children, but men actually carry the seeds in life 24/7, 365 days a year, and we have risked our lives, our investments to create new industries, to go places where no one's gone, airplanes, car, all kinds of things. Men have taken all those risks to do that. Women have not done that. And women have inherited millions and sometimes billions of dollars, and it's nothing wrong with that. That's the design of our brains, the way we think. Women don't take risks the way men do. But you can't find any bridges built by all women, and you don't find any companies of all women trading on the Fortune 500. So you know we have to stop diminishing men for the things that they have done. Men could build a civilization if there was no woman here. They could go, they'll still get the natural resources. They'll drill oil. They'll find the iron ore and copper, and they'll grow food. They'll do all of that. And without men to do that, I don't know what our society would look like. Maybe we would still live in caves, and we'd have no fire, because fire is risky.
Sure.
If you're going to say things that are just sort of popularisms with no proof and empirical evidence to support it, I kind of don't want to hear it, honestly.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you a lesson. You said you did your research and the documentation says, and I think the documentation is important, what's written in books and what we read and what we're taught are important. What we're taught today is probably different than what actually happened in the real world when it happened, because it's all hearsay, because nobody was actually there that is here today. However, there is one thing, and I'm going to get to it. It's going to take about 45 seconds. Teacher, the derivative of the word term, came from the name teach. He was an admiral, and if you look it up, teach comes from the New Providence, where he was an admiral in Queen Anne's Navy. And so nobody really knows this. It's undocumented. Nobody can really prove it. But I'll give you the steps to how it came about, the word teacher. Okay? So the guy's name was Edward Teach. Okay? And he was an admiral in Queen Anne's British Navy. And then she decided that she was going to do what the Spanish were going to do and the French. And so she made him into a privateer. Well, as a privateer, he was forced to rob the French and the Spanish and whoever else came around and bring the bounty back to Queen Anne, and in order to do that, she commanded that he murder everyone on the ships. So he didn't like it. He said, screw you, Queen Anne. I'm not going to do this anymore. So he became a pirate. So the guy became a pirate and started to train his people. He trained his people better than anyone else. He was the most feared pirate in the whole Caribbean and Atlantic Ocean between here and Britain and Spain. And what eventually would happen was he would just pull up to wherever he wanted to get his treasure from, and or whoever he wanted to take it from, and they would just give it to him, because what he would do is they would drop the sails, they would stop the boat, and they would give over everything, including the ship.
All right.
And he would let the crew go.
Okay, no. You said you were going to take 45 seconds. What is it you want me to understand?
Take a little bit more time.
No.
Blackbeard the pirate, okay? He was Blackbeard the pirate, and he's documented that he found his death at the hands of the governor of Virginia because they had him pardoned, gave his crew pardon so they could separate from him. Then the governor betrayed him, separated from his crew, and hanged him.
What does that have to do with men building civilization?
Well, I'm trying to teach you something about your talking while I'm listening. So you're saying that no women built the bridge, no women built the civilization, but you have no proof of that because you weren't there.
I do. I live right here in New York. I don't see women building skyscrapers. I'm not going to read it, Gene. I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not going to read it. I'm not.
No, Gene.
Give me proof of what you're trying to prove.
How am I going to give proof? I wasn't alive then.
Great. So then that I said it. Okay.
What I saw, I wasn't there. I don't know.
All right. Listen. There are no women. Even today, you don't. Find me a bridge that women built. Find me a bridge that women built. Find me. Okay. Find me a woman. Find me a bridge. Women, all women built.
Here we go, T. There they are going to go.
I'm not.
I'm a woman that built a bridge. I love you. I got a hop because I'm in the middle of I don't know where, and I got things I got to do.
Goodbye.
Right.
Take care.
Goodbye. Take care. See you later.
Kendrick, any last thoughts?
Yeah, here we go. That's what the women done did, and here's what the men done did. But like you said, Ted, the facts are the facts. I wasn't there to argue the facts because the facts speak for themselves, Ted. If you go all the way back from Samaria to Mesopotamia, Ted, to the doggone pyramids of Giza and all them other places that they need, men built this stuff, man. So I just can't sit up here and argue with you.
Right.
You know, I can't argue that to you. You know what I'm saying? The argument would be for me to be ignorant vagabond right now to you.
I think this is, men have been taught to diminish themselves so much that even when they have done stuff, they still will diminish it. And that's a problem.
I mean, it's like brainwashing teaching to you. We're going to have to be, like you said, we're going to have to unlearn some stuff.
Really need to unlearn everything. I mean, that's a tough thing to say. People don't want to hear that, but you do need to unlearn everything. Because you ever heard the ankle bone is connected to the knee bone is connected to the hip bone is connected, you know, and so one thing that you learn is connected to other things. You just don't always see it is what I'm getting at. So there's a lot.
Domino effect.
Right, so there's a lot that men have been taught about themselves, about being toxic, about all they want is one thing, about not being smart, and this is so unfortunate. You know, I mean, we are the father of civilizations, and we build militaries and civilizations to make sure women are safer and have easier lives. I mean, we do want to take care of our women. We just, to have our women diminish us as being worthless is not healthy for anyone. And as I already pulled up evidence that when children grow up with a father in a home, they have higher IQs. And when he's taken out, girls are negatively affected than boys. Like, so, you know, we have to start paying attention to this. How do we have a strong, powerful, sustainable civilization if we're doing things to weaken it? And China has caught on that that's not a good direction. So they're saying, hey, our boys are not as masculine as they used to be, and we are going to make sure they learn to be masculine, and we want two-parent households. So, you know, we've got to rethink about the things that we're doing. And men are much better than we are saying.
Yes, sir. And like you said, Ted, the women, a lot of these women really can't argue the fact that they out here procreating weak, feminized boys, Ted. That's a trend that I'm seeing too, Ted. You creating these boys that, you know, that's not the strong, they not operating in a strong masculine frame, Ted. So that plays a role on society as a whole too, Ted.
Well, that I just said we keep building a weaker and weaker society.
Yes, sir. And you can't lie about this stuff. You can't make this stuff up, Ted. You're 100% right.
So as men have a choice of where they drop their seed. Men carry life. We carry it 24/7, 365. And women have a choice between who they choose to be a father. As men understand, if you want your bloodline to continue and you don't plan to be a father, then you're creating a weak bloodline that, you know, may be obsolete anyway. As a boy, he may not make it to 25, or he may be in prison picking up soap. And is that the legacy you really want to leave? And as a woman, is that what you want? Your children, we want the same. So I'm saying men are extremely important. And as I gave the example of the Mayan Indians in the jungle, it was men who created boundaries to keep order instead of accepting chaos. And men really can make that difference. And Marjorie Williams, thank you. She said, I want to thank all men for their contributions to society, and happy Father's Day to all men on this chat, acknowledging men's congratulations to society will not take away anything from women. Blessed up. Thank you for that. Yeah, definitely don't want to take anything away from women. This is Father's Day. So, and men have built civilizations, and lots of people try to say, well, you don't have proof. And yes, we do. We really do. You are not there. I understand. But this is not to diminish women. Father's Day does not put women down, just like Mother's Day doesn't put men down. This is Father's Day. Have Father's Day. That's it. What do you let?
My emphasis is on the father. Oh, excuse.
Say that again.
I didn't mean to, you know, to cut you off, but I was saying it. The day been set aside to put emphasis on these fathers here.
Correct. Any last thoughts you have?
Oh no, sir. You know you did a bang up job, Ted. And I appreciate every time, most definitely. I appreciate this.
Thank you. For all the men, hey, salute all the men in your life. Father's Day to all men. Thank you guys for joining me. For the ladies who join and acknowledge the men, thank you for the acknowledgement. We really appreciate it. We love having you in our lives. You are without question important, but we really have to acknowledge the profound impact that men have on society. And when men have their heads straight, society will definitely be on the straight and narrow. So, guys, I thank you for your support, all your comments. If you haven't shared this video, you can. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, subscribe, like it, smash the like button if you haven't. And I'm on Patreon. If you haven't seen the private videos I have there that shed light from different perspectives that you haven't seen here on YouTube or anywhere else. Check me out. Support me on Patreon. Until then, guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy the rest of your Father's Day with your families, with your friends, and enjoy the rest of the week. I'll be back next week for sure, or this Friday, not next week. I'll be back this Friday with a YouTube and chill where I like to talk about the intimacy of relationships. If you missed this past Friday, you want to check that out. I had a woman who was on, and you'll definitely want to see it. So enjoy the evening. Lando, peace. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a great evening, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Goodbye. Take care, everyone.